May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Grace and mercy and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. How do you define irony? The beginning of this year has already not been without its tragedies. We so looked forward to it in being one that was without them. And yet here we are, still struggling, still worrying with the fallout from a pandemic, still worrying about how the future semester is going to look, how we're going to reach our people with the Word of God, how we're going to continue to eat and survive and live. Many are losing their jobs, many are suffering from all that is going around. And it is ironic that everything that we have worked for decades, even centuries, has brought us to this. There's tragedy all around us. All our wealth and our country is still unhappy. We've been working so hard, and yet we struggle. We're deprived. We're angry, and we look around at a more godless culture day after day. Our pericope for today, our passage, is not without a sense of irony. 1 John quotes Isaiah the prophet. We hear this in Mark. This is what happens before our text today. He's referring to John, the one who's going to be preparing the way of the Lord. Now John, we hear, he has plenty of fame, and he is baptizing for the repentance. His manners also seem strange. Camel's hair, locusts, and wild honey. What is this man who's been charged with doing such great things? And above all this, rather than taking the glory and receiving his fame, he points to someone else, that the glory he redirects elsewhere. In our passage for today, to us, John should be the focal point. But instead, he counts himself as not worthy to stoop down and untie sandals. He points rather to one who is greater, to one who is coming. The fame that he could take, the glory that he could receive, he could make much of himself, but instead he points to someone else, the strap of whose sandals I am unworthy to untie. And even though John highlights Jesus' act of baptizing, that he will be baptizing in the Holy Spirit and fire, John baptizes him. Truly irony. But then the heavens are opening. The Spirit descends, and a voice calls him, saying, "You are my Son, who I am well pleased." And finally, another irony in our passage is that looking ahead, we don't have a record of Jesus baptizing the way John did at all. The whole of Scripture and the whole of this history that comes up and leads up to this point is full of irony in itself. We've been hearing within the past weeks passages from Isaiah, particularly Isaiah 9, where we are told that this light will shine. Shine your light. And through all that Isaiah says in between chapter 9 up until what we heard last week in chapter 60, when he talks about the coming servant, the one who will give himself, who will be scorned and rejected. Again, in chapter 60, we now have a new understanding of what it means when he says that his light will shine. Shine your light, he says. He's foretelling of this Messiah to come. And this is what we preach today. And even as we look back on the irony of years that have gone past, we can look at how Luther revealed what was hidden and disclosed by the church at that time. There was so much oppression by the church, and we understand that the gospel in its true grace was preached. Going back even before that, the destruction of the Second Temple in 70 AD was not something that should have happened when God said that this temple would remain forever. This makes no sense. Before that, even Christ, who was expected to come as a king, he was going to be the one to rule the nations, to save them from their sins. Instead, he comes as a lowly babe, made lower than the lowest, and crucified on a cross. Of course, leading up to that, as we're going backwards in time, we have an exile to Babylon and a destruction of a temple again, which was never to be destroyed, but was destroyed. David was to build that temple, but God built it through Solomon, his son. We could look at all of the ironies of Moses in the fact that he wasn't able to speak, and yet he was the one to, through his speaking, not being able to speak well, brings his people out of Egypt. God used him to bring his people out of Egypt. We would have expected to see Esau receive the blessing from Isaac, but rather Jacob was the one to receive it. Cain, the evil one, kills Abel, who is the faithful one. Adam and Eve are living in perfection, and yet still they feel incomplete without this fruit. And so they give up perfection for fruit. And here today, as we look and see the world as it sits, everything would tell us that it took longer than 6 days to create it, when in reality, we have a God who made the world in 6 natural days. It defies all sense. Well, if there were no ironies, we wouldn't need to have anything written down, would we? This text also, ironically, doesn't say anything about me, making much of me being glorified or significant. But would it do you any good to see me glorified or made much of? And to those of you who will stand in a pulpit and preaching to your congregation someday, or those of you deaconesses who will be speaking and helping your congregation through their needs, would it do good for them to see you glorified? But rather, we have Jesus who says, "Follow me." John did not make much of himself. He made less of himself and made much of Christ. We are called to do the same. Because truly, if there's anything that we would seek in the glory of ourselves, it does not last very long. Whether we would seek my glory, money, credibility, prestige, safety, happiness, skills, food, possessions, knowledge, a legacy, we can look out and see how we've been pursuing airplanes and skyscrapers, great wisdom, even our piety, even love. Maybe we strive to create the perfect church on earth, which in itself is ironic because there's only one who can perfect our church. Many things in this world say to us and call to us, saying, "Do as I say, and I will make you great." But this is that old familiar voice, a voice that we recognize. It is the voice of death. And at the end of all other things that would call us to run after them, the end is always the same. "Give back everything I have given you," it says, "and now lay down and die." In that moment, everything that we would have sought for ourselves in this life is emptied of its meaning because it does not last. Who will save us from all this? There he is, depicted, God's beloved Son. There he is, depicted, the one in whom the Father is well pleased. Look on him and believe. Look on him and be pardoned. For the ironies are not over yet. We are baptized as Christ commanded. We, in our worthlessness, receive being lifted up by a God who gave up all things for us. And it is not the righteous one who is saved, but the righteous one who is saving. That the infinite can be encapsulated into the words of the finite. That the incarnation of an infinite God can be enfleshed in the form of a man. That a holy God would institute his holy word about his holy plan to come out of these unclean lips. But at the end of all that, at the end of this life, as we mentioned, we are left with nothing but a grave. But he was left with even less. He was left with an empty grave. And in the emptiness of this grave, he is made much of. He is glorified. He has been raised to glory and seated at the right hand of the Father. And we here in this place stand assured today of this final great irony, that he who is worthy, in the end, actually does make much of us who are unworthy. For God, the just, is satisfied to look on him and to pardon me. He looks on the one who is worthy and pardons the one who is unworthy. And because of this, we are joined together with him in baptism. And all that is his, as Luther says, becomes ours because he gave himself for us. All praise and honor and glory and power and might be to our God who reigns forever and ever. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. We continue with our hymn. Please rise.